Thank you. Oh. We used to sing that all day long, didn't we?
Yes.
When the Bhagavatam was being read and chanted, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a mantra for untimely death. and for mental illness. And it's a really good one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's really beautiful. Really beautiful. Wonderful to hear it. Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai. Sachasanga Ki Jai. Victory to that within you that is wise, true, and beyond all limitations. It's a very deep point. Oh, it's Sunday again. The time goes so quickly, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It does. Well, today I brought nothing with me, and I wait for you to form the satsang this time, like we do in India. Sometimes we bring something in, and sometimes we don't. So today, I'm going to leave it up to you, and I'll wait for your raised hand. And we shouldn't wait too long. I'm going to count to 10. Somebody has. Oh, there's two hands. And guess who's the first one? Ken Chui. So, Ken.
Namaste, Guruji. Namaste.
Namaste, Ken. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, good to be with you, and better for being here with you too. Namaste, Guruji. Namaste. Guruji, could you kindly speak a little bit about mental illness, please? Because you were saying about that mantra earlier. In my line of work, I encounter lots of people with mental illnesses. And just yesterday, actually, it was the day before was Robin's birthday. So yesterday we went to just provide some food to homeless people. And one of them was a young chap, was just probably in his late 20s. And he was saying that he's mentally unwell. He's not an alcoholic or he's not a drug addict, he said. He's just been like a traveler, gypsy kind of person, and just doesn't want to be connected to the world and wants to be just away from the world. And he said, you know, if anything, I'm just mad, he said. I'm just mad. That's all, but I'm not an alcoholic. Don't judge me by that, he said. So yeah, mental illnesses, Guruji.
I don't think he's mentally ill at all. I think he's mentally wise and probably very clear. What do you think?
There is a possibility of that too.
Yeah.
But there are others.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like there are others. For example, a good friend of mine who was at satsang before but decided not to anymore. She struggled badly with postnatal depression a long time ago and was admitted to the, you know, mental asylums quite a few times actually. And so struggled immensely in her life, and still, you know, there is a fear in her that it might recur or relapse.
Yeah. I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's very difficult for me to actually speak about mental illness in the sense that I can speak about mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That would be that, to be on this journey that reveals the revelations. Well, everyone will have to experience the revelations for themselves, and the pathway is love. And you know, you have to be very stable to be on this pathway, to be called by the Dharma. It's not that you can't make error we all make error. That's not the point. But when the veils begin to lift and duality goes away, and yet nothing has changed, this can be very confusing for someone who is not right in their heart and willing to committed to seeing things as they are. So let's take the Lankavatara Sutra, for example. The Lankavatara Sutra, one of the famous quotes out of the Lankavatara Sutra is, things are not as they appear to be. Well, you have to be very mentally stable to see that that's so. And so it says, things are not as they appear to be, nor are they otherwise. So that silences everything. And you can't intellectualize or analyze that. That is an experience. And you have to be mentally fit for it. I remember, I cannot work with mentally fragile people. Almost impossible. Because there's a good deal of clinging to the malady. It's hard to get them over the, over to center, because they're eccentric. Not eccentric in the sense of creative eccentricity, but eccentric in the sense that they're not in center. Whatever that may mean, it's, you know, words are a little, but I think you get the point. I remember that Swami, Chandraswami, if a mentally ill person would even come into his ashram, send them away. And, well, spirituality, so to speak, it's a funny word, but it's true that we are actually looking into the spirit of life, the essence, the root, the non-existent root, actually. It's very easy for someone to become even more unbalanced in the atmosphere of satsang. I remember going to support Sundance some years ago. And one person who was in Sangha for a long time and mentally fragile, you know, the whole energy just collapsed upon them and they became completely out of the world. You know, so it's too soon to become out of the world to have the veils lifted. If you're mentally unstable, it's, you cannot come here because you have to be very, very, very stable. Very. Because what you're about to unveil in the heart of being is unimaginable to you. And even people who are very stable walk very slowly on this path. Some of them cannot even imagine that... that love is so grand that it's inconceivable and unexplainable and unknowable, actually. You'll have only to be who you are to experience love. Then you cannot say anything about it. You can say nothing about it. The deeper you go, the simpler you are in your going, the more willing you are to see truly and not to cling to your ideas about how things are, but to see how it is. You have to be very stable for that and willing to change whatever it is that's in your way. So you cannot, and the world is crazy. W-H-I-R-L-D, world. The world is completely crazy. And people are waking up in it, which is wonderful. Because they're seeing what they have never seen before. And some situations are hard for people who are easily cited, easily opinionated, easily this and that, huh? Yeah. And it's all from the very first breath, illusion. That's not just a word. That can be proven in one's own experience. Everything we speak about can be experienced in one's own life, if one will go there.
Thank you, Guruji.
Yes, yes. You're welcome.
Namaste.
Namaste. So, Auntie, let me see, Alessandra. Yes.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste.
Namaste. Now you speak. You spoke about love, and in these days, I feel much more. Sometimes the love is so strong that is like painful. Not painful. It's like painful sometimes because it's really strong.
And well, absolutely. there are no words for how deep and profound love is. And I used to have pains in my heart, and I always figured I needed to oil the hinges of my heart. You know, the gateway. I had to. Yeah, it can be painful, but so what?
It's so beautiful.
It is. It is. And extraordinary. And it's the breath, it's the sky, it's the earth, it's the cosmos, it's your relationships, it's your self-understanding, it is your way. It is what releases harsh dualistic karma. It is the healing. It's the healing. They say bomb, B-A-U-M, of the world. And only if when the people of the world will enter their heart and permit the heart to guide them. So that everything in God's creation, in the great mystery, is it's hard to say because I want to say unified, but it's already unified. It's discovered in respect for each other, respect for life, respect for the planet, respect for the birth, the life and the death, of which is 100% illusionary, because what you are, who you are, was never born and will never die. And that's a fact. I would really love to move into that, that awareness with this Sangha very much. The what is beyond, and permeating always, life is God, huh? Maharaji said, love is God, God is love. So you're having, well, I cannot say. I will not say what you're having. You can say, and maybe you can't. But I mean, love is the entire universe. Love is how everything comes into being. And I can't describe it anymore. Once we come into the love that is absolutely undividable, no gap anywhere, which could be called hatred or against. we can no longer even define what love is. It's like attempting to define the universe and its detail. Mm-hmm. But if we will go that way, it's a very demanding way. Remember that Rumi said, go choose a path that demands everything from you. Love does. And it will not, love does not accept no, or later, or some other time. Or I choose to hate at this moment, or project on someone, or feel sorry for myself, or any, all of them are lessons. It's, they all come up for a reason. They all come up so that love can dissolve them. And it's a very powerful, very, very powerful, I think the most powerful, because it's wise as well. It is wisdom as well. And it's revealing. All great saints, all great sages, all Mahatmas, who I've ever, myself, ever known of, have been incredibly loving, incredibly forgiving. Not even forgiving. They don't even bother with it. They don't bother with forgiveness. It's already done. It's already done. Yeah, it's... don't try to put it into a jar and tighten it up. You can't do it. Just let it move through you, because actually that's what's moving through you, you know, in the prana, in your breath, in your heartbeat. All of these involuntary events that go on in your body are all due to love. Everything's due to love. And hatred and wars and selfishness are incredible misunderstandings, but they're also teachings. Everyone will come eventually, everyone. No question. And so what if it's painful? I'm willing for whatever it brings. I'm willing for whatever it brings. If I fall on my nose, I'm willing for that. If I will come to realize the light of love is within, is all there is. It's perception. It's experience. It's much grander than from one to another, although that's also a very beautiful way. It's as boundless as space. How boundless is space? I mean, how many galaxies and universes can you fit into space, and where does space have a beginning and a middle and an end? This is love. Just breathing, just having a life. Love is at the center of all the great teachings and all the wisdom. Just remain there. And when you feel like you're not there, I am there. Because I am. And my emotions do not dictate the love that literally, literally runs my life. Is my breath. I can't stop breathing voluntarily. I can't stop my heart from beating voluntarily. Everything that I'm perceiving is fundamentally love. Love is God. Maharaji used to say, love is God.
I have a picture here in the country of Maharaji in my room that he looks to me very serious. And so I look to him in his eyes, and there sometimes my heart is like breaking. I start to cry. I don't know why, but this I feel a love that is like not human. I don't know what it is. Well, I don't have words.
Whatever human is, we're not sure. Yeah. Even the scientists don't know. But yeah, cry, yeah, and your heart breaks, yes. All good signs.
Also, the other day with Premo in the Guru Gita, I start to cry also there, so strong. Incredible.
No!
Incredible.
This is what I would have said to Ken. So many Mahatmas, huh? So many enlightened souls throughout the ages have called themselves crazy. Because they look like that. Because they don't look normal in the sense of what is expected of a human being. Their heart is their pathway. And people don't understand that, but they're beginning to. They're beginning to. They see the corruption in the world for the first time so blatantly strong. And they know that that's not where they want to be. And they're waking up to this love that you're speaking about.
And I have another small thing that here I have a statue of Sacha Baba, big like this. And usually I keep him in my room, but now I decide to bring him where there is a cave where water that is inside from the earth. But now is not coming anymore water from the earth. So I bring there in this cave. And that is a little temple for me because it's all painted by me. And I put it there and I pray. And I ask to Sacha Baba to protect the valley, Italy, and give some water. And this morning there were some clouds and just maybe 1 minute rain. And for me is love. I don't know what, but I like to imagine this. He sent this.
Yes, if you can't imagine anything, imagine that. Mm. Mm. We're having a very similar thing here in France where people in the town were praying for rain and it rained. And they took the patron saint of droughts?
Perpignan.
Of Perpignan. I thought he had something to do with...
He's the saint also of rain.
Of rain.
Farmers.
Took the patron saint, image of the patron saint of Perpignan, the city, and rain, Madhu's telling me. And they took it to a dry river, a drying river. And it rained really hard that night. You know, this is a very important observation. When you live from your heart, whatever that means to you, and you give yourself some space to stumble around a bit, that's also love. And you pretty much live for the way that you want the world to be and how you want people to be with you. You are in great service to the enlightenment of the planet. And it just keeps showing and showing and showing. that people are coming together. The beat of their heart is demonstrative. It's filled with the desire that everyone benefit, huh? And then we're living really, really well. If only in the day, bless this world, and that everyone must benefit from the content of their very pure heart, because the heart is very pure. Mm-hmm. Always is. We put ideas on top of it, and then we think we're impure. But fundamentally, purity means without thought, without design. It doesn't mean with wings and sparkly imagery. It means really the light, the pathway is lit in love. Mm-hmm. And then whatever your experience is, okay? Okay. Love is everything. And the great misunderstanding on the planet is, I've never heard of that. And I want you to be some way other than you are, and you should be this particular way with me, and you should think like this, and you should look like that, and you should take my side, and you should, you know, and all of this is dying, which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It is. It's wonderful. The world is changing. It looks terrible. But there's some real powerful growth in the way things are right now. And love will conquer, victorious, in each and every life that goes that way. Mm-hmm. And for every other life as well. Boy, love, I'm going to say this too. Love sure teaches you that it's not what you thought it was. Oh, it's certainly not what you thought it was. It's way beyond anything you could possibly think or project. I'm happy that your heart aches. It's a good sign. Very good sign.
I bow to your feet, Guruji.
Oh, I bow to your feet. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, I take the dust of my devotees' feet. Without you, there would be no satsang. Isn't it true? Mm. Shimananda and Yashodhara, namaste. Shivananda and Yashodhara.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, Shantimaya. What?
I said namaste back to you.
Ah, namaste, namaste.
Yeah, can you turn on your camera, please?
Yes,
please.
It's on.
Yes.
Yeah, now, yeah.
No, it's, yes, yes.
So my theme and the last days, last weeks are concerned around peace. Around peace, and had yesterday some very beautiful inspiration about a woman, beautiful human who wrote about peace very emotionally, but very clear from the Waking Women. And I love
it. If it's emotional, it's not clear. So we have a contradiction right there. Do you mean, what do you mean by emotional? I have the feeling that our language is just a little different.
I mean from the heart.
Devotional, you said,
right? No, emotional. I said from the heart, but very clear.
There is emotion that's really uplifting. So that's what you're talking about.
Yes, okay. Yes. So I loved it very much to be so precise and so clear about that she doesn't want to give money. Nobody asked her to give money for the war. And since 2016, I'm speaking up also in a way, but I try always to look if I'm in peace myself. And
that's going to be the most important point.
Yes. Yes. And that's.
Are you?
And I stopped it in the middle where I was writing and had some beautiful ideas. And then I felt, but I'm not really in peace myself. I'm not really in love with myself, with the other. So there I stop and I try, if I come back to this point, that I really love everything, what I see, the clouds, the birds, everything, then I can go on. But so if I don't feel this, I have to stop. And that's I want to share with you. And sometimes I have doubt, sometimes I want to go, but then it's always something.
Wait a minute. We're not gonna pass that one up. Sometimes you have doubts. What's to doubt?
That my mind is too much involved.
Well, that's not a doubt.
Being right or wrong or something, or should I?
What are you doubting? What do you? What if there was no such word or concept called doubt?
And it would just go on.
So, okay, you can give up the idea of doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at a person asking a question yesterday. Is there a God? Answer. There is God. Is there a God? Answer. There is God. Is there a God? Answer. There is God. Whatever one perceives, whatever one is, whatever is possible or impossible, beyond or evident, there is, God is everything. And, you know, be very careful about this doubt, because you can quiet, I have showed you that you can quiet the thoughts by breath. They can go in the background. They can go on the back burner. Maybe they still go on, but they're not important anymore. Just for a little while, just to have that experience that they're not important and I don't have to follow them like a ring in my nose everywhere, and forming opinions and forming all kinds of emotional content about myself and other. You breathe through your nostrils evenly. You inspire, hold, and there's the peace, and there, right there at the turn of the breath is where everything dissolves and disappears, and then expire, hold. And we listen into that hold area. This, you know, this breath is the whole story of eternity, of all everything. Everything comes into the breath. It's a revelation, and one goes into a very deep peace where everything is resolved. The universe has an incredible way of resolution. It's always resolved. Nature is always resolved. It's only humans that are confused. It's because we play with doubt and we analyze whether this is or that is. And we're really putting in front of our analysis, the unimaginable, unexplainable, inexhaustible, undoubtable. And we get confused. Peace is really important because that's within us. That is the place, so to speak, of resolution of everything. So you get there by your breath. Just observing your breath. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a student one time said he wanted to be an activist, a peace activist. I say, well, like you say, are you at peace? Are you going out and being a peace activist when you're not peaceful yourself? You can do that if you want. Nobody can say anything about it. The moment doubt and would come into my awareness, I would just trash it. Did you hear me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let it have me for a moment. I've never seen it do any good. It puts me at odds with myself. I don't doubt. I don't think that there is such a thing as doubt or ego or any of this nonsense. There is but God. And that's that. And I can't analyze it, and I can't understand it, and I can't understand why the world is like it is, except for selfishness is a great poison. I can understand the roots of the problem. But how the whole universe got here, why you have a nose and eyes and ears and a life, I can't even imagine. How could I doubt whatever has brought that into play? We take a lot for granted. Okay. So we do.
Thank you, especially for the deep insights about the breathing, which I experienced with Gayatri Mantra also. And thank you for this help, because it goes more on the body level than on the mind level.
Mm. Well, the body is in the mind. Work that one out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. Thank you.
I know you do. Namaste.
Namaste.
See you. We'll stop with Tara. Hey, Pio. I can't hear you.
Is okay now?
Yeah.
I would like to share that during the night, I often wake up very early at 3 or 4, and almost always there is a blackbird singing, which is magic, because I live in Milano, so in an apartment, but he's always, almost always there singing.
Is he a nightingale?
It's a black, little black bird.
I think it's a nightingale.
You have a red back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And his singing is, to me, the announcement of beauty in this world. And my faith is really rooted in this. He always brings me to you, to this attention to beauty. And I was considering when Kinchui was speaking about mental illness, that I have noticed that when I'm in these 30 years of working through dance, when I am in the middle of people with mental illness, is incredible that maybe through this blackbird singing during the night, that I can listen this singing in everyone, even if
yes.
People are screaming or crying or laughing. But there is a magical moment where through the music, the movement, even if it's a fraction of a second, they calm down. And there is something shiny in everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's incredible. Really, the world is challenging.
Mm.
Fantastic, because there is a blackbird singing.
That's right. And I don't mean to put mental fragility into a negative space. What I mean to do is say that to walk this way, you have to continually stabilize in the heart, huh?
Yeah.
Walk by that light. And you walk by that light, you're going to be kind to everyone, and you're going to understand not every moment of every day.
Mm.
But your heart is not only willing, it's activated by kindness and generosity and love.
Mm.
So there's nothing that stands outside of that love. And nothing that's judged, discerned maybe, but not judged by that love that you have for everyone. It can't be. Impossible.
Hmm.
I was thinking about it, Pio. I was thinking about this. This is a really beautiful story that you're telling. Last night, the wind was blowing so loud. I just love the music of the wind. It just rolls through the trees, and You just feel like it could knock the whole world down. It's so strong, and it's just so beautiful, and it makes the air so fresh, and the sky so bright the next day, and everything is clean. So it has that quality also of deep appreciation, and this singing of the blackbird. It's a call from the heart, don't you think?
Yeah. And so thank you, Shantimai, for your voice, your eyes are the singing for me.
Yeah, thank you. Love you, Pew.
I love you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir, there's light in everyone.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Shantimai.
Thank you, Pew. Shanti.
Namaste.
Tara went away. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Yes, Shanti.
I just wanted to come on and say thank you for the satsangs that you hold, and thank you for being available to turn to when I need guidance and help. That
why do you think let's go with these words, are going to be very, very particularly selected. Why do you think that you decide to be sad so often?
I don't know.
You know, your heart is not in that clinging to sadness. There's a clinging to sadness. And you have, we have been writing to each other for a while, and you are so you're so sweet-natured. You're so light. You're so willing. And you move along a light. I'm the words are very difficult. You move along a light that is very nurturing and gives great opportunity for insight and growth. The words are a little stilted, but the meaning is there. When will you give up this sadness that you think that you have to carry? The self doubt, because I don't see it. I hear it, but I don't see it in you. I know that it's your experience. I'm not denying your experience, but I want to know. I'm asking you because you're asking me to ask you.
Yeah, I just don't feel like I know the answer. I just feel that, you know, I don't feel sad all the time. I feel afraid sometimes.
And well, that's sad.
Emotional.
Hold on. Being afraid is a sadness. And you just said something very important. Can I recapture it? It'll come. Sometimes things slip away. Not so much. fear is sad. What do you fear? What do you create fear of? We can go through this for a moment. What are you creating, because you're creating it, fear of? We're doing this not only for you, but for everyone who has this. So I thank you for bringing it. And I feel that it's you said, I got it. You said, I don't have an answer. That's perfectly fine. You don't have to have an answer. I'm going to set this question in your heart that you'll see that it's absolutely, eventually, you have to see it for yourself, not just my words. That it's absolutely unnecessary to create fear. Absolutely unnecessary. And it is a sadness. Fear is a sadness. Because creating fear contains you and does not permit you for whatever to, I can't even go into it because it's so broad, what fear will not permit. And caution is important. It's important. But fear of what?
Probably just a habit, I guess.
I can imagine that that is true, but why would you want to follow that? Which is always a closed door. It's one closed door after another. One closed door after another. And it gives a certain chemistry in the body. And this may be kind of an addictive. Huh? But it's not just a habit. There's something that there's ideas that are set in front of you to say, I am fearful of that. What would one of those things be? I mean, you brought up the topic fearful.
Yeah, I'm just considering how to word it. It's, I guess, just fear of instability of my own.
But that's what's making you unstable. Oh, I love that smile. I mean, you've been caught. I fear instability, but that's the very thing. That's the very idea that creates that you are. I have never seen you unstable. Only your idea will topple you over. And so what if you're unstable? I mean, stable is an idea. We have to use it sometimes. What if we forget that we need to be stable or unstable? What is your idea? We leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah. We leave it there because now it can do its work by itself. You need not fear anything. And then when you find out that you need not fear anything, you won't. And you may be able to fulfill your idea of stability. I wouldn't even bother with that. There's so many ideas that we can just chuck in the trash. Well, heed this word. Cease to be so attached. Cease to be so attached to fear. Because your idea of unstable creates the idea of unstable. But it's certainly not my experience of you, and I'm not kidding. So I don't see that at all. I wouldn't entertain myself with those ideas for a moment. Not for a moment. The moment that the idea that I'm unstable and I fear being unstable, to whom? Who are you comparing yourself with? I would just, I'm so tired of that. I'm bored with it. Swaha, goodbye.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love your writings. I mean, you write to me and you say such and deeply and meaningfully. Stop defining yourself by fear. I would suggest. Open up that space and just love. You have that. And I don't know what that means to you. I don't know what it means to anyone, but it is incredibly meaningful. Namaste, Shanti Mira.
Namaste.
Do you have something else to say?
No, that's enough. Thank you.
May it fall deeply into your consciousness that you are absolutely liberated from the binds of fearfulness. God bless you for that. And you're creating it, remember. So, and don't be hard on yourself. Just see it as a teaching. You're a wonderful person. Hello? I saw that just go to Korea. You're a wonderful person. The great Chan masters, when the disciple didn't get the point, they used to say the arrow went to Korea. You're a beautiful person. God's creation is exquisite. Accept or don't accept. You've heard these words, and there's nothing truer in the realm of language than that. Honor yourself. I was just saying to Ramananda yesterday, people will have to acknowledge their divine inheritance because God's creation is perfect. And we acknowledge that we are mysterious and marvelous and wise and creative and true. And we don't have to talk about it, but we certainly will never deny it. It has nothing to do with ego. this whole idea of ego stinks. From way, 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 way back, there is only God. There is only one. You cannot have the ego unless you have multiplicity and selfishness. You have selfish actions. There's no doubt. So there are egoic actions. But there's no such thing as an ego. Like there's no such thing as an God. A God. What's the answer? God is. Everywhere, at all times, in all of creation. And we cannot figure it out. And yet love shines a light on the doubtlessness free of the idea of doubtlessness. You're a wonderful, wonderful person. Kara? Well, there the arrow did not fly to Korea. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.
Thank you too. Yes, Tara.
Namaste. Bye.
Namaste, Tara. You're always wrapped up. I just cannot figure it out.
Yeah, it's so cold in the practice. At the weekend, the practice is cold. We have no heating system, so I always...
I'm going to mark off if it's a weekend or a weekday the next time I see you wrapped up with and all of these blankets. I'm just glad you're warm, that's all. There you go.
Yeah, I'm happy.
So what is it?
Yeah, I have many pictures in my being, new pictures since the Gayatri. And in my understanding of a change in myself also on the body level is that if toxic thoughts are coming, it feels like a hand is coming out of my heart with the blood system, and it's just... throwing them away or giving no space for the toxic.
This is wonderful. Go ahead, please. You know, this I don't like to say practice, but we can. This way of refusing resistance is a wonderful way to use resistance.
Again, I didn't understand.
Yeah, you know, people oftentimes resist their spiritual awakening or their realization or whatever it is. They resist. But this is a very good way this is a very beneficial way to move into the energy of resistance. I refuse. I refuse to hate anyone. Let it take its time. Let it develop into an actuality. So when you say that when toxic thoughts, I don't know what they might be, but when they come up, you... No. Not fighting, just removing. You can't fight the thoughts. They're going to win. But you can put them on the back burner so that they have no meaning whatsoever. So that you can actually experience something other than what you're thinking. For crying out loud.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tara.
and the past is coming towards me, and because I had so many beautiful experiences in my life, so they are coming and watering my being in a different way. I don't know how, but I can feel that something is changing.
Yes. And the challenge is going to be there. But this change will augment the challenge, will bring the challenge, bring the jewel out of the challenge rather than the hardship. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That the unknown will come and unfold its beauty in no?
You got it. The unknown will come and unfold as it does. And you will either find the beauty in it or not. And when you do, it will reveal to you something about your heart. And when you don't, you'll get another chance.
Shanti Mai.
Yeah.
I created in my body a tumor. It's not cancer, but a tumor that... And you, in the beginning, you were talking about that the disease or whatever we create is love. And I had some experiences with the spirit of this being. And talking to you, I feel I can. Because it's like a resistant, like a skin about it, and now I can touch the skin. Something is changing. I don't know. I will see or I will feel after these days. But it's important for me to talk with you and to feel this change in this umsatzang for me.
Do you see the changes being beneficial?
Yes.
That's the gauge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gauge. Mm-hmm. When do I see you again?
Eastern.
Oh, yeah, good. On our way to Germany tomorrow. Wow.
Oh, good journey.
First time I've given a satsang to an assembly in nearly 3 years. It'll be good to see everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
namaste.
Namaste. Is there a hand? What is that? Okay. So, yes. Cease creating fear. Nothing wrong with mental illness in the sense of, well, it's in the sense of the light. Everyone, as Pio says, is filled with light. And a lot of mental illness can be extremely innocent. To be called to the Dharma, one has to be mentally stable. Mm-hmm. And let's just drop that idea of stability. Now we have an idea of what we have to be. Get the point, as Wang Po said, listen to the teachings as though it's a breeze passing your cheek, not to, oh, am I stable? Am I stable enough? Am I good? Come on. This is not even an idea. You have to be able to speak, take what is said, and silence it. Stop measuring yourself against anything. If you, it's really, really, mental stability right now to this Sangha means that you're not mentally fragile, means you're not mentally incapable of running your own life. Let's put it like that. It's really hard to speak about it. So let's forget it. I don't understand why people doubt themselves so quickly. You cannot say a word. They take it and turn on themselves with it. Am I? What's wrong with me? Am I good enough? Is it possible enough? What's wrong? Stable. Uh-oh. You know that you're not incompetent. You know that you are strong. You know that you are capable. Why would you doubt it? Why would you doubt it for even a minute? Why do you play in such fields of self-doubt? And I don't get it. This you can put in the trash. One day we're going to anoint the forehead, the feet, and the hands, and I will say to you, and you will, yes. At this moment, I acknowledge the divine which has created the entire universe. No one knows how or when or why. And I am not a part of that. I am, as all beings are, total in that. And from here on out, with this oil on my third eye, I refuse to deny it. Refuse to deny it. I will never deny it again. Let it grow as it does. God bless the world. All of this self-pity that people create for themselves, why? When they are really divine, magnificent, mysterious, unexplainable, undefinable plays of consciousness, dreaming, life's experience. Be kind to yourself, and therefore you can be kind to others. Namaste, everyone. Much, much love. God bless you.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. murachate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avashishate.
Shishate.